Hi everyone, thanks for listening. I'm Stephen Cronin. Welcome to another episode of My Watercolour Diary, where I'll try and answer your queries and comments, mainly from my YouTube channel, the videos over there. Hope all your painting's going well. So firstly, just to comment on a quick comment from Anna, who said, what paint and paper do you use? Now you'll always see the paint and the papers and the brushes, all the materials I use in the video description. Every video on YouTube will have all this information, along with all the links to all my other things, all the books on Amazon and the shop on eBay where you can buy the paintings. The link to Patreon where you can become a member and post all your own paintings on the community page. Indeed, there's even a link to this very, very podcast. So if you ever want to know anything about how to navigate to any of my sites, always look in the video descriptions over on YouTube, because all the links will be there underneath the videos. So moving on, Lee asks me if I always use a reference photo when I'm painting. So I would say probably in the last 6-12 months, probably 99% of the time I paint, I use a reference photograph. I did used to make a lot up from my imagination previous to that. I found they all looked very samey. Maybe I just need a better imagination, I don't know. But for the time being, yeah, I'll probably just continue using reference photographs rather than make them up. I do often get asked, you know, can you always show the reference photographs? When it's my own, if I'm using, I prefer to use my own reference material. And I will show the photograph if that's the case. But sometimes I'll see an image, might be a photograph, might even be another painting. I prefer not to use other paintings for references because I feel as if it's cheating, because the artist has made a lot of decisions that I think it's best we make ourselves. But if I am using a reference that I've seen on the internet from someone else, obviously I can't show that on YouTube because they're very, very strict on copyright, YouTube are. To the extent, I've even had videos threatened to be pulled because I had the radio on in the background, and it's obviously breaking copyright laws on other artists' musical material. Yeah, two or three times that happened. That's why now I used to have the radio on all the time in the background. You'll notice that in videos from several years back. Now I just have to have silence, but I think that works actually. It probably ended up working to my benefit, because now, I don't know if it comes across on the videos so much, but I can hear, especially in the summer when the doors open, because I paint at the back of the house. You can hear the birds in the background. It's quite a nice backdrop, I think. I think what would work even better, at some point I would like some sort of studio or shed or something down the bottom of the garden, so I've got my own space instead of painting right next to the dining table and getting paint splashing all up the wall. Because down the bottom of the garden is where the pond is, and the pump, and you get the sound of running water, which I think, imagine having every video, and to the backdrop of every video, you got the sound of running water. I think it'd be fantastic. So that's something for the future anyway. Lee also mentions that having watched some videos on YouTube, he's bought a hake brush for the first time. Now this is the tool I've been using pretty much since I started. I did start off with the round brushes. Probably the most traditional brushes you can use. And it was when I saw Ron Ranson's fast and loose technique with his hake brushes that's when I really started to realise that was the technique for me, and the brush for me as well. So I think the biggest problem with anyone, especially even myself, I found when I first started, when you first use a hake brush, it's just the fact that they hold so much water, and it will really be a problem at first. People always ask me the same question. How do you control the amount of water on the brush? And I always say, I always have a tea towel in my left hand. You can't see it so well in the videos, but while I'm holding the palette, underneath the palette in the same hand, I'm holding a tea towel, and I'm just constantly wiping the brush on it just to remove that excess water. so that the paint mixes aren't too diluted with water. Otherwise, you tend to have very weak washes if there's too much water and not enough paint. The number one tip I'd have to anyone starting with a hake brush is always have a spare tea towel ready just to wipe all that excess water off. Lee mentions specifically skies, the way skies come out with the hake. And I think that the number one benefit of the hake is the fact that it's such a big brush. You can cover the paper very quickly. You can get a lot of paint, a lot of washes on the paper very, very quickly. And I think that helps create some dramatic skies. Lots of colour and intensity and contrast, lights and darks and shadows. And it all happens so quickly, it's almost a click of a finger. And as I think I've mentioned in the previous episode, I find my paintings come out better the faster I go, the better the results. I personally, I mean, I know it's not for everyone. Some people might prefer to move, a slightly slower, more methodical pace. And it's horses for courses. What suits one person isn't going to be beneficial to another. But yeah, the large hake, and I use the large because there's four different sizes. You've got small, medium, large, and extra large. I have got the extra large, but I think I use 15 by 11 inch paper, and I think the extra large is just slightly too big. I'm saving that for when I go up, maybe like 20 by 16 sheets, something like that, maybe. I say that size, that's the size I used to use the canvases when I got my Bob Ross oil starter kit, and I think they were all 20 by 16. That was a nice size. But I'll see how that goes in the future. So moving on, the delightfully named Stardy Smoothhound over on YouTube has left a comment wondering about the pallets, noting there's no cover or lid for it. Do you find this a problem when storing with the dust? Or do you use cling film or something to protect the paint? So the short answer is no, I'll never cover my pallets. Every time I finish a painting session, I top up. I've got the seven colours around the edges of the palette. I'll look round. If any of them need topping up, I'll just squeeze some fresh paint over them. And then by the time I use the palette the next day, that will have all dried. And that's how I use my paint, dry on the palette. I've never had a problem with dust or anything like that. I've never really found any need, really, to cover the palette to protect the paint. I've never come across any problems. So it's not something, it's not really an issue. I wouldn't, it's not something that you really should concern yourselves about. the only thing I could think of, maybe, is if you prefer, you might, I don't know, if you covered it or kept it airtight some way, if you prefer to use it, the paint, when it's fresher rather than let it dry out, maybe to cover it and keep it moist and sticky, maybe. But for me personally, no, I've never found any need to cover the paint. So moving on, an interesting comment. Don't get many negative comments, to be fair to all the listeners. You're all normally very, very good to me. But there's one here, I won't embarrass them by mentioning the name, but they basically said, sorry, I find this painting very dull. Needs more darks. It's a little boring. Fair comments, but we've all got our tastes. Now, to explain to put up some sort of defence, it's quite an old video, I probably made the decision. I'm probably going 3, 4, 5 years ago. I can't remember now, but I did look at the paintings that I was doing. And I realised I needed more contrast. I needed to concentrate more on shadows, more on darks and lights. And so recent work, I hope people have noticed some sort of improvements. And I do try and focus more on getting light and shadow and darks and contrast into the work to make them look more dramatic. What I normally do when I'm somewhere near finished a painting, I'll go and stand away as far as away as I can and look at it from a distance. And you should be able to... the painting should be able to jump out at you, sometimes when you sat right next to it, it's difficult to evaluate if the contrasts are sufficiently good enough. So I do focus. I have focused in recent times a lot more on getting those tones right. And to be honest, I do agree with the comments. There are more darks, particularly the painting itself. It's like a sort of long distant sort of countryside view, big sky, and imagine like the trees along the horizon, and they are quite light. I would do them darker now, so I would definitely, if I was to do that painting again, there would be more darks in it. So it's a fair comment, and it's something I have tried to improve on in recent years, and hopefully you'll see the benefits of it. So that concludes today's episode. I hope you've enjoyed that. I hope you've picked up a few little tips and things to help you along your way. So thanks for listening. If you've got any comments or questions, probably on YouTube is probably the best place to leave them. And I'll just pick them up from there. So thanks for listening, and until next time, keep practicing and happy painting.